We've been talking for several weeks on total trust in a total God. That was a two-week conversation. But, you know, as I began to pray and we began to think about, we're going to be moving into some thoughts over the next couple of weeks about vision and values. And as I began to pray and just read, I just felt like the Holy Spirit began to talk to me about trusting in the strength of the Holy Spirit, trusting in the strength of the Holy Spirit. In the days that we're living in today, many of you, you need that. You're facing some things. Maybe the heat has turned up in your life and there are things going on that are not natural. Just wild things are happening and you want to trust more. And I believe there's strength in the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives us. So I want to continue the conversation. I don't know if you've ever wrote a letter or wrote an email. And when you get to the end of it, you're ready to send it. Or you're ready to send it on. But there's one more thing that you want to say. But you've ended the letter. And so what you do is you add a P.S. to it. That means postscript. It's beyond the main part. You got something else you want to say as you've already said something. So what I want to do this weekend to this total trust in a total God is I want to add a P.S. to it. So I want to talk for a few minutes on P.S. I trust you. P.S. I trust you. And I pulled out a letter that Delenn sent me years and years ago. Matter of fact, it's dated April the 22nd, 1987. We had just started dating. We'd been dating. It's one of the first things she had written me. And I had written her several letters. And so she decided to, in turn, write me a letter. And as I was reading this yesterday, I went back. I kept some of these things. And so I was going back and I was reading it. And she has a P.S. in this. I think it's very interesting. Just kind of help us relate to understand what it means to add a P.S. to the conversation, which what we're doing this weekend with P.S. I trust you. So here's the letter Delenn wrote me, 4/22/87. Dino, you said I wasn't so good in the note business. So here is a note. I've been meaning to write you a note, but things have been coming up. I'm sorry I was kind of mad yesterday, but I get frustrated like you when I can't see you or talk to you. I wish you could come over every day. I miss you so, a lot of O's, so much, especially last night. I wouldn't have even minded if you called me at 12 o'clock. You know how you were dating? You talked to like midnight on the phone. Now you're married at 9:30. Okay, God bless. I would have given anything to have talked to you. See, her dad was limiting our visit. She was, Delenn wrote this, she was 17 years old. She's just a baby. And so her dad was limiting our visits and I could only go over 2 times a week and couldn't call that much. And so he was on that like crazy. But guess what? Now we got 3 babies together. Come on, somebody. So she finished his letter. Then she says, P.S. Your haircut is darling. I cut it real short. Everybody was laughing at me. I don't care what other people say. I love it. And I'm the only one you need to please. And you're the only one I need to please. I know you like that. Oh, yeah. You can tell me things. I'll let you know when it starts scaring me. My turn. I really care for you a great deal. You're a doll. Love, Delenn. So that was when we first, because we weren't saying I love you yet. It was I like you, I care for you. And I was like, anything else you want to tell me? No. Then I need to tell you something. I want to tell you something. Don't tell me, don't get rid. She told me one time, don't tell me that you love me. I won't go say that. I was say, if you want to go get some yogurt, I wasn't saying that. I'm thinking of that. P.S. I trust you. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. This is a great story. It is a word picture story of the history of Israel. And when you read them, they remind the reader to open up your eyes and open up the eyes of your children and go on a word picture journey in Psalm 78 about how God is a God that you can trust. But how the children of Israel chose many times not to trust him. And it's a history of how the children of Israel came to moments in their life, tough moments in their life, and instead of trusting, they turned back. And it's the story of that. I read a few verses to you. Psalm 78, verse 9, the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant. They refused to live by His law. They forgot what He had done and the wonders He had showed them. They forgot what He had done and the wonders that they had shown Him. I read it to you in the Message Bible. It says, the Ephraimites, armed to the teeth, ran away when the battle began. They were cowards to God's covenant, refused to walk by His word. They forgot what He had done and the marvels, watch this, He had done right before their very eyes. That verse right there, verse 9, is kind of the main thought that I want to camp at for a few minutes. And the whole thought of here are men that experienced and a group of people and a tribe and families that had experienced the hand of God in their life. But when they got down to a crucial moment, into a moment of moving forward, into a moment of believing, into a moment of acting in the righteousness of God, into a moment of trusting, they decided in that moment not to move forward, but to turn back. It's a word picture that describes an opportunity to move closer, but then choosing not to move closer, but fleeing from it. It's a picture and it's an example of people experiencing a failure to trust and then running away when the battle began. That's what the Bible is describing, that God had done so much over and over and over again. And when the people, the children of Israel, got to a moment to step out in faith, they decided to run away because of the battle. Can I tell you something? I believe we're living in a battle today. I believe we're living in spiritual warfare days. If you've not felt the heat turn up, you might as well get ready for it. The heat is being turned up. There is a spiritual battle for your soul, for your family, for your marriage, for your future, for your finances, for your hope, for your dream. There is a spiritual battle that is raging all around us, trying to come against your life, steal the thoughts and the hope that you have in God. It happens in a marriage. It happens with our children. It is happening all around. Delin and I felt that in our life. We felt actually the last month that the spiritual heat, the battle has gotten hotter. That the war is increasing for our souls and for the dream and for the promise that God has given us. It's happening all around us. And you have a choice when the spiritual heat is turned up to either trust God or turn back. It is the choice that all of us have when it comes to hope. It happens in our marriage. It happens with our children. It happens sometimes with the future that we're believing of. An opportunity to turn back or to trust God. This is what this is describing. It's describing a people that were living in a very important day, but they'd become blind to the meaning of the day that they were living in. They didn't see it. It's like having an opportunity and you're blind to it. Not seeing something happening in a relationship. Not noticing what's happening around you. They didn't notice it. They didn't feel it. They didn't trust God. When you begin to look at this, there's more meaning. Here's what's so interesting. The Bible never mentions a literal battle that describes the happenings in Ephraim, in the tribe of Ephraim. But what it says is that over time and tension, that's important. Time and tension, eventually, because of the tension that they faced, they turned away from God. They turned back in the day of battle and became indifferent and distracted from God's call, especially in the light of all that God had done for them. And they basically blended into the scenery and walked away from their responsibility. You know what it describes? It describes the picture of a coward. That's what verse 9 is. It's the definition of a coward in God. Where there's an opportunity, there's a moment in God, and you choose to walk away from it. Who, due to the battle of a, this is what a coward does, due to the battle, walks away quietly, takes off the uniform, disappears into the surrounding, leaving his platoon for peace and pleasure, and then he is no more. He doesn't share in defeat, nor does he share in victory. But he lives a life of disgrace and dies full of regret. That, my friend, is a coward. Just blends in. Just fades into the surrounding. and never experiences because of the fear of defeat. Never experiences defeat, but never experiences victory. Why? Because he runs from the battle. These are not days to run from the battle. These are not days to run away from God. These are not days to run away from commitment. These are not days to face the truth and live in the truth and walk in the truth. These are days to walk as trusted believers, to be fully trusting in God. Let's fast forward it a little bit. Here are the disciples. They've been trusting in Christ. But he lets them know, hey, these days are coming to an end a little bit. And I'm going to go to a cross. And when I go to that cross, you stay committed. I've prayed for you. It's going to be all right. But you know what takes place. When Jesus is arrested, those disciples, they get scared. It's chaotic. They begin to camouflage themselves. They don't want anybody to. There's a moment. There's a time. But they run away from it. And Peter is one of the chief ones that runs away. I mean, Peter does not want to associate himself with Christ. I mean, they look at Peter and say, aren't you like Jesus? Weren't you with Jesus? Weren't you a part of that? No, I wasn't with him. But I thought you hung out with him. I thought you were part of his platoon. I thought you were a disciple. I'm not a disciple. I never even knew him. I don't know who he is. What's happening? There's a moment that Peter turns away. Then he goes and begins to fish again. Blends into the scenery. Wants to fade away. All the disciples are running scared. But aren't you glad that even when we are not faithful, Jesus remains faithful to us. And he goes and finds Peter and he brings him back. And he lets him know, I know you felt like you've been alone. I know you felt like you've had no strength, but I'm going to send you the Comforter of the Holy Spirit, and you're not going to be alone. And no longer will you turn back in the moment, but you will trust me fully in the moment. And it happens in Acts chapter 1. Jesus tells them this. This is the promise that Jesus gives them about the future, about the coming days. He says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. He's saying this to his disciples, the ones who scattered in Jerusalem, scared in Jerusalem, eat up with fear in Jerusalem. Jesus says, you're not going to run away now. You're going to have power, and you're going to be power to be a witness. Do you know what that word witness means? It means martyr. You'd be willing to lay down your life than retreat. You'll be willing to be courageous and not be a coward. You're willing to be radical and not someone that runs away. Because of the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It happens. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 2. I love this chapter. The disciples are gathered and the Holy Spirit is showing up. It says, on the day of Pentecost, they came all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house which they were sitting. All those disciples were gathered, other believers. And it says they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Bible says, now they were staying in Jerusalem and there were people everywhere. It talks about how when the power of the Holy Spirit came on these disciples, it just spilled out into the street. There they were in Jerusalem, where weeks before they were retreating. They were running scared. Now they're standing up in the power of the Holy Spirit. It becomes like a magnet to people. Thousands of people show up around this home. They're wondering, what's the noise? What's happening? And some believe it and some don't believe it. And some of them, the Bible says in verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? But however, some were making fun of them because they said they had too much wine. All these people around say, what's going on? And some people are like, what's happening? We sense this power. Other people didn't understand it. What do you do at that moment? All eyes are on you. Eyes that before you were scared of. Look what happens. Out of all the people, the Bible says that Peter stood up with the 11. He raised up his voice. He addressed the crowd. He said, fellow Jews and all of you that live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen to what I have to say. Peter, the one that denied, now stands up in the power of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, not ashamed, not scared, and proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he brings it. Can I have a good amen? He does not hold back. It is not a little sweet talk. It is not just a lecture. He speaks the message of God to those who are part of the crowd that said, crucify him. Jesus, Peter gets up with the boldness of the Holy Spirit and begins to proclaim. The Bible says when the people heard this, they were cut to their heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brother, what shall we do?" Here's what Peter said. "You need to repent and be baptized, every single one of you. And Jesus will forgive your sin and the Holy Spirit will fill you." And guess what? That happened, and 3,000 people got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit in that one moment. Here's the question. What happened? What happened? One minute he's running, the next minute he's radical. One minute he's a coward, the next minute he's being courageous. I'll tell you what happened, two things. You know what the first thing was? He had repented devotion. Do you know what that means? That means when you look at your life and you say, my devotion to Jesus is not where it needs to be. And there are times like that in our lives. We come to the point, my devotion in Christ is just not where it needs to be. And we repent. We say, Lord, I want to be devoted to you. And I'll tell you the second thing that took place was the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it made a huge difference. And it empowered the New Testament church. And here we are today. You can turn or trust through the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. And as it was available that day, it's available today. I'm going to ask two of our pastors to join us on stage. And I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, what it means to be Spirit-filled. I'm going to ask Mike Kamen. Mike, why don't you jump up here? Mike is one of our pastors, one of our great communicators. And it is such an honor to have Brother Wrench join us on stage. He's one of my spiritual presbyters and just knows so much about the Lord. Why don't you clap your hands as Brother Wrench and Mike Kamen join us on stage. This is great. I know it's kind of changing gears as I was speaking. Then all of a sudden now, we begin to share like this, but I just felt in my heart as we were praying about this, I wanted to just kind of talk for a few minutes with these men of God and what God has done in their life as they've had an incredible experience with the Holy Spirit and throughout their life and all the years of experience that are right here. Brother Wentz, why don't you just, I know you tell them how long you've been a Christian, you've been married, and tell them a little bit about your journey with the power of the Holy Spirit.
I've been a Christian 62 years.
Wow.
I've been married 53 years to the same woman. Saved when I was 10.
Wow.
Raised in a home of a stepfather. My father died when I was 5, who was very abusive, and he abused me, not physically or sexually, but emotionally. And what Pastor Dean has been talking about, a coward and being backward, I was very backward. I was an introvert. My stepfather was very abusive. He told me I was no good. I'd never amount to anything. I could never do anything right. Listen, if you don't love your children, give them to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Don't tell them how bad they are. And he used to tell me how fat I was, how ugly I was. Well, that part's true, but you don't look like Brad Pitt either.
Brad who?
What did I say, Brad?
You
Pitt?
Said Robert Redford last service. Everybody's like, who's Robert Redford? That's great.
How about Denzel Washington? Some
yeah,
of you.
Okay. How about Johnny Green? Let's just use him.
Johnny Green.
Standard.
I graduated from high school. I was voted the most bashful in my class. I'm a notable. I only dated one lady, and she's sitting right over there. Esther and I met when I was 14. I never dated another girl. I didn't have the courage. I was so bashful, she had to ask me to marry her. It's not true. But I'd go in a room, Pastor, and stand in a corner. I said, "You've got a witness. You got to be a witness. You've go to a church. You've been saved." And I couldn't even get up and testify. Mm-hmm. I tell you, sitting here today, I could more do this than I couldn't do it. I jokingly said in some of the services, I became a popcorn Christian. I'd jump up, turn white, and sit down.
That's cool.
Now, some of you have problems with that, but I'm not white. I'm a putrid pink. This is white. Come on. You get this color, you're dead. But God changed my life. He filled me with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
After 20 years in the church, and I want to make sure they understand, you understand it, this has nothing to do with your salvation. Please, we live in a place where people say you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. Mm. Run from them.
It's not true.
Run from them. It's not scriptural. Has nothing to do with your salvation. The Holy Spirit we're speaking of today is for you to be filled with power to be a witness and to be a Jesus person and to overcome. Come on.
Yeah, yeah, amen. That's good.
Pastor, I don't want to take this man's time and your time, but yesterday, Friday, Esther and I went to Pascagoula, Mississippi. I went to speak at Teen Challenge to a graduation of a young lady, 24 years old, who her life was messed up on drugs. Her grandparents come here to church, and I was instrumental in getting her into Teen Challenge. Now, Teen Challenge is the greatest drug program in the country.
Yeah.
They have 130 centers here and 130 overseas. Started 52 years ago by a man named David Wilkerson in Brooklyn, New York. And it has changed the drug culture. And it's the only thing that will change the drug culture. And let me tell you what changes it. It's not just education. You educate a drug addict, you've got an educated drug addict. What changes them is when they get saved and that redemption Pastor talked about, and they get full of the Holy Spirit, they have the power to overcome addictions. And I'm telling you, it works. The government has a 2% cure rate. Teen Challenge has an 87% cure rate. And it's because of this power of the Holy Ghost.
That's good. What would that mean to you, Mike, when Brother Rince talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit? What does that mean to you?
Well, I guess I just connect it to my own experience with God. And, you know, as a boy, I grew up in church. You know, my earliest memories are of being in God's house. And but the church that I was a part of, not one time did I ever hear any mention of the Holy Spirit. Not once. I mean, God, I understood. I mean, he created the heavens and the earth. Jesus, I knew, died on the cross for me. But how was I going to have power to live today? And I can remember being a part of a service where huge crowd. And the pastor got up and he preached on the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, where have I been? Where was this my entire life? And I was just 13 years old, but he was saying things I'd never heard of before.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the service, gave an opportunity for people to come forward and say, hey, if you want to be filled with this Spirit, come forward. Well, I was there with my sisters and some of my friends. Well, everybody went down to the front. And let me tell you, the crowd was so big and the place was so packed, I couldn't find my friends, couldn't find my sisters, and things were getting a little crazy up front.
Yeah.
And I was just, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in a church setting where it was a little bizarre and, you know, it was kind of confusing. People were saying things. People were laid out on the floor. And next thing I know, I got a couple people grab a hold of me, people I'd never seen before. And they were speaking at really high decibels and saying things I didn't understand. And then one of them was saying, you know, brother, just hold on. Another one was saying, brother, let go. And so... Honestly, and I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth. Then I got Sister Super Christian on one side. I got Brother Bible Man on the other side, and they're telling me two different things. And then here comes this third guy to me, and he starts hitting me up under the chin. You know, I guess you're going to jump start a lawnmower or something. So they want me to say something or do something, and I was confused. I'm 13 That's years great. Old. And I looked around, and I noticed that there was some people laid out on the floor. And I noticed that nobody was bothering them.
Somebody call 911.
Hey,
call the ambulance.
So I got an idea. And I know this isn't real spiritual, but it's real. I gave a courtesy drop. I just dropped to the floor.
You ain't right.
And it worked. They left me alone.
You need to get off stage right now. You ain't even right.
And I stayed down there for about 15 minutes until everybody left.
And you eased on out?
And I kind of rolled on out the side door. And I met up with my friends, and they were like, oh, man, Mike, it was awesome. We were filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened to you? And I'm like, well, whatever happened to me, I guarantee it didn't happen to you. I was confused. I was discouraged. I thought, what's wrong with me? Am I second class? Is there sin in my life? Do I not have enough faith? What's the deal with the Holy Spirit? And for a year, it bothered me.
Yeah.
Introducing this time, it bothered me because I thought I was less of a person. But you know what it did? It motivated me to study what does the Bible have to say about the Holy Spirit. I started reading the book of Acts. I thought, what? Look at this. This is a New Testament church that is, I mean, dynamic in power. That scripture the pastor read, and you shall receive power, there's a Greek word called dunamis, and that's the same word that we get for dynamite. And I begin to look at my life and think, man, my life doesn't look anything like that. Lord, I want that. And God, if you said I could have it, then I want all of it. Help me. Help me understand.
Brother, let's talk to him about fear, because When you start talking about the Holy Spirit, you deal with fear. And I know you talked to a guy last night. Talk to him about that, because you unpack that so well.
The unknown is fearful. And many of you come from backgrounds where you've been taught to stay away from this. Because you got everything when you got saved. You don't need anything else. Just stay where you are. But you see, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah, that's true.
The only way you're going to get drunk with wine is to keep drinking. You can't drink one time and never drink again and get drunk.
You see how he says something, he looks away? That is an incredible thing you did.
It's in my DNA. I've never been drunk in my life. I've never had a drink of wine. But I've seen some that have. And you got to keep drinking. He said, don't do that. That's do right. This. Keep drinking of the Spirit until you're filled and continue to be filled.
That is so good.
But you got to hear this now. But there's a fear. Mm. Last night in the Saturday night service, we talked along these lines, same setting. And I walked out that aisle, and my wife was with me. And this man ran over her almost. He was headed for me. And she was worried a little bit. She actually pushed her a little bit out of the way, grabbed me, and put his... He had a big beard and a short beard. It was just pricking the side of my head off. And he grabbed me around my neck and held me and kept saying, the Holy Spirit scared the hell out of me. The Holy Spirit scared the hell out of me. I mean, he said it about six times. I thought, okay, I got it.
That is crazy.
But I'm sorry if I offend some of you old timers, but that's what he said.
Some of you old timers.
But that's what he said. And it's the truth. Many people are afraid. Let me shout it. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. You don't have to be afraid of him.
So
he will never make you do anything that you don't want to do. He'll never take. If something takes control of you, that's not the Holy Spirit. You got to yield to the Holy Spirit.
That's so good, brother.
So don't be afraid. What we're teaching you is in the book. I know some of you have been taught differently, but all we're doing is the Bible. I'm sorry. Just hear it. Tradition's going to kill some people.
Yeah,
we want you to find that place where you can draw closer to God.
Yeah, I know. I came to Christ and then went to a service one night. And there's a pastor, Alfonso, I think his name. Phil, you probably remember him. And he spoke on the power of the Holy Spirit. I never heard much about it at all. And at the close of the service, he asked people to come forward. I came forward. I didn't know much about it, but here's the decision I'd made. I wanted every single thing God had for me.
Yes.
I wanted to be a funnel. And I knew I needed it. I wanted to be a funnel. Everything the Lord wanted to dump into my life, pour into my life, I wanted. I didn't completely understand it, but I wanted more of Jesus. See, if you want more, if you want everything God has for you, that's what I wanted. And I remember coming forward, and a lot of people got prayed for, and people spoke in tongues, and people got touched and got power. They're like, nothing happened to me much. But I felt like it was like the first step of saying, I want more of you. And I believe from there, several weeks later, as I began to read, I was by myself praying one afternoon and just in my room. And I was praying and just asking God to touch me. I wanted everything he had for me. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember the moment I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues and I continue to do that today. But it was a gift from God. It was God doing that in my life. But there was not a lot. I didn't know from that moment on, there was just not a lot of clarity. I just kind of on my own. Mike, what would you say to someone who would sit in your office after this service and would say, I want to know more about the power of the Holy Spirit. Walk me through how this works.
Well, I know what I did from that initial experience. I began to read the Bible. I looked up every verse that talked about the Holy Spirit. And I began to journal. I asked questions to, you know, pastors and spiritual authority.
Thank you,
Jesus. You know, I prayed. I sought God. I worshiped. There was a hunger inside of me. And I'm going to tell you, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's the hook.
Yeah.
Is to be hungry. Jesus said in the greatest sermon of the scripture, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I just felt emptiness in my life. God, fill it up. And so there was a hunger. So I began to search the scriptures and ask questions. And then the other thing I would say is embrace a spirit of humility. You know, because if there's any kind of pride or arrogance, the Bible says that, you know, God resists the proud. You're not going to get anything from God, you know, if you're not teachable. But he says he gives grace to the humble. And so I had to humble myself and realize that I may not understand every single thing that God does. I'll read something in the scripture and be like, Lord, I want that. I don't know a whole lot about it, but God, my heart's there. So even if I don't, you know, if you could explain everything about God, he would cease to be God.
Yeah.
I mean, we've reduced God into man-sized terms, but God is infinitely bigger than even what our minds can understand. So there was a humility where I had to say, Lord, even though I don't understand everything, God, I'm trusting you. I'm leaning into that. We do it with salvation. You know, when, yeah. I mean, when you prayed a prayer and asked Jesus to come into your life, you didn't understand everything about God then. But you know what? You opened up your heart and you said, it's a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit, just like salvation. Nothing you do to deserve it or to earn it. You don't wrestle with God or try to convince him. No, you simply receive.
Yeah.
And so that hunger and humility, I think, are the keys.
Pastor, let me just quickly say this. Every one of you who've been born again have received the Spirit. If you have not the Spirit, you're none of his. When he breathed on the disciples on Resurrection Sunday, receive you the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
He was no longer with them. He was in them. Every one of you have the Spirit living inside of you. You got the Holy Spirit when you were saved. You're on your way to heaven. How many can shout glory to God?
Yeah, amen, amen, amen.
You're on your way to heaven. It has nothing to do with going to heaven. But you see, that glass has water in it. But when you receive the fullness of the Spirit, are immersed in the Spirit. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait till you're baptized. John immersed him in water. You're going to be immersed in the Spirit not many days hence. And Pastor read it tonight, or today. Then when you were filled with the Spirit, you're filled with power, and you stay, continue to fill and continue to drink. It's not a one-time situation. It's a lifestyle. He said, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's no condemnation to them who in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but walk after
Thank
the Spirit.
Jesus.
It's power in your life
Amen.
To be an overcomer.
You know, in a minute, we're going to have a time where we're going to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit and just God on everything you have for you. Mike, what would you say with that whole fear? I think there's a lot of fear. I think people struggle. So much of this is fear.
Well,
what would you say to a person who says, I think I want more. I want everything. But it's just, I feel like there's this hurdle, fear.
Well, we've been talking the last several weeks about total trust in a total God. And I would simply say, you can trust God with an experience like
Jesus.
This. I mean, there may be fear attached to it because there's uncertainty. Maybe there's been misuse or abuse of it. Maybe you've seen things that have been totally unbiblical as it relates to this topic. You know, there's nothing that'll divide a church more than the topic of the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
You speak in tongues? You don't speak in tongues? We divide and we label people based on the Holy Spirit. I think we grieve that very Spirit that Jesus gave us. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to unite us as a church and to empower us. And if there's fear, and then I don't blame you. I had fear too. But how do you conquer any fear? You move forward in it.
Yeah.
You got to face it. And sometimes you got to just do it afraid.
That's
you know, to learn to ride a bike, there may be some fear. But guess what? After a few scrapes and scratches and, you know, bumps and bruises, you learned how to do it. How? By doing it. Same thing with swimming. You may be afraid of water. I'm telling you, you're not going to learn how to swim just through a textbook. You have to get out in the water.
Yeah.
Same thing with God. You know, if you want something that you've never had, you've got to be willing to do something that you've never done. And you can trust God when it comes to the Holy Spirit.